Shir is dedicated to Le'iloi Nishmas, Rachel Leia Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi. Begins Simon Beis in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, page 6 in the Mitzudah edition. Today's topic are the laws pertaining to Netilas Yadayim Shachris, washing hands upon rising in the morning, known in Yiddish as Negelwasser. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph, Lefi she'ha'adam kasher kam memitasa shachris hukma beria chadasha, la'vodas ha'bore yizbarach shemo. As much as when man rises in the morning, he is essentially a new creation, as Hashem, after all, has just given back his neshama, his soul. Therefore, lachein tzarech lehiskadesh v'lital yadav min hakli. Therefore, it behoves him to sanctify himself and to wash his hands from a kli, from a vessel. Kimo, just as a kohen, shehaya mekadesh yada v'chal yom minakiyar kaldem avodasa. We know that in the temple service, the kohanim, prior to offering the various sacrifices or performing any other type of service in the Beis HaMikdash, would have to first wash their hands and feet. So we don't wash our feet. But nonetheless, just as the Kohanim, in their service, in preparation for their service of the Almighty, would wash their hands prior to the actual service, so too, each morning, when we're recreated, as it were, and are about to begin afresh, anew, as servants of Hashem, each of us, in our own way, is also a Kohen. We may not be genetically Kohanim. We may not go up to Duchen to give the blessing. But each of us is a Kohen in the sense that each of us has a mission in serving Hashem in a way unique to the particular individual. So that being the case, explains the Kitzur, therefore the rabbis established that just as the Kohanim wash prior to their service, each of us washes every morning prior to today's mission. Usmach l'netila zu min ha-mikra. There is a scriptural allusion. Again, as I mentioned, this was a rabbinic enactment. It's not actually Torah mandated. Nonetheless, we do find an allusion to this requirement based on the pasuk once again in Tehillim, Erchatz b'nikayon kapoy v'asoviva es mizbachacha Hashem lashmiya b'kal todah. Period. That I'll wash my hands in purity, and only at that point will I encircle your Mizbeach, the altar of Hashem. Then continues the Kitzur, V'od yesh tam l'netila zos. There's another reason. Beyond the notion of being a new creation poised to once again begin afresh, serving Hashem in the spirit of the Kohanim of yesteryear, but there's another reason, and that is l'fisha b'sh'as she'na she'nistalka nishmaso ha'kedosha bar ruach ha'toma v'shora al gufa. This is way too hard for me. That's when a person goes to sleep, so his neshama, his soul, is given back to Hashem for safekeeping that evening. And in place of the soul, there is some type of spiritual contamination that's referred to as ruach tuma or ruach ra'a, which is very difficult to quantify, but that impurity is envelops the individual when he or she goes to sleep, and then you wake up in the morning, so now you wash in order to remove that ruach ra'a. There is a third reason that is actually not referred to in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a reason that is given by one of the classic medieval authorities, namely the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, in which the Rosh writes that the reason for washing in the morning is when a person goes to sleep, so invariably he or she may have touched covered portions of the body, And therefore, in preparation for davening, for reciting the Shema, for saying brachas, it's only appropriate that one washes those hands in order to cleanse them from that possible contact over the course of one's sleeping. Thus, we find three different reasons for washing each and every morning. Are there any significant ramifications? Would there be any differences between the various reasons? So the answer is absolutely yes. That's, for example, if one goes to sleep during the day, so does one have to wash? So if you accept the reason of the rush, the reason that happens not to be quoted by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, namely that the purpose for washing is in yodayim askanios, that your hands may have inadvertently touched a covered portion of the body while asleep. So then even if you sleep during the day, you would still have to wash. Whereas if you assume that the reason is ruach ra'a, or a beria chadasha, a new creation, so then a strong case can be made that one is only created once a day, that the ruach ra does not exist during the day. We don't exactly know what this contamination is, but this spiritual contamination only exists perhaps at night. Practically, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Ches, later on in a couple of pages, on page number 10, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch rules that in the case where one took a nap, where one slept during the day, so the rule, the halacha would be that one washes, but does not recite the associated blessing, the bracha. As we will learn shortly, there is a very specific bracha that one recites after washing in the morning. In a case of doubt, normally, and this is a very important halachic principle that exists in many areas of halacha, that in case of doubt, so intuitively we always think, better to err on the side of caution. When in doubt, just do. If you're not sure, just do the mitzvah. So that's all fine and good. You can, if you're not sure, should you wash or shouldn't you wash? Can't hurt. Might as well go ahead and wash. Are you really, really required? So technically, probably not. And as much as washing is only a rabbinic obligation, when in doubt, the rule is safek drabanan likula. When in doubt, one does not, regarding the obligation of a rabbinic precept, so one is not obligated to err on the side of caution. One has the right to be lenient and not to go ahead and perform the mitzvah. Nonetheless, if it's not much of an imposition on you, matav manoim, why not? You want to go ahead and do the mitzvah, that's great. So that's why the Kitzur advises, in this case, you sleep during the day, do you have to wash, don't you have to wash? Well, maybe yes, maybe no, depending on why the rabbis established the washing in the first place. So if to go ahead and wash, that's all fine and good. Do you absolutely have to? So probably not, but you might as well. However, when going ahead to wash, and when there's a doubt as to whether you really had to wash or not, so you never recite a bracha. The rule is that you think that when in doubt, well, make a bracha, can't go wrong. Well, guess what? You could go wrong. Although the halacha normally is that you can't go wrong, if you're not sure if you have to do the mitzvah, hey, what do you have to lose? Even a rabbinic mitzvah, which you're not really required to go ahead and repeat or to perform, when it comes down to a bracha, so erring on the side of caution means not to recite the blessing out of concern for possibly using God's name in vain. One of the Ten Commandments is L'sisa Hashem, Hashem Lokecha Lashov, not to use God's name in vain, which certainly refers to taking an oath in a bezdin, in a Jewish court. However, by extension, we understand this prohibition of L'sisa to include also using God's name in vain in the sense of making an unnecessary bracha, commonly referred to as either a bracha levatala or a bracha she'eina tzricha. Bracha levatala, a bracha in vain, bracha she'ena tzricha, an unnecessary bracha. A person does not have the right to make a blessing any time he or she so desires. A person, you got to follow the rules. You make the various brachas when they are applicable. And thus, in a case of doubt, yes, you sleep during the day. Do you have to wash? Don't you have to wash? Maybe yes, maybe no. Can't hurt, might as well wash, which is indeed the ruling of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch on the next page, as we mentioned. However, with respect to reciting a blessing, to reciting the bracha, so here we apply the time-honored principle of Safek Brachas Lehakel, that with respect to rabbinically mandated brachas, to the exclusion of blessing after meals, of benching of Birkas HaMazon in many cases, as well as blessings on the Torah, a discussion for another time. But 99.9 of our brachos, when in doubt, you're not obligated to repeat those brachos. And being that you're not obligated, the halacha, in fact, is you're not even allowed to. And we don't say, what's the downside? No, there is a downside. Because you think you're being, quote-unquote, machmir, you're being stringent to make a bracha. Maybe you don't have to, when really you're being lenient with regard to the possibility of making a bracha she'ena tzricha, a bracha levatala, an unnecessary bracha, a bracha in vain. On page 8, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, the Aser Leilech Arba Amos Bili Netilas Yadayim Imlo Litzorech Godol. One is not allowed upon waking up in the morning to walk the equivalent of 4 cubits, somewhere between 6 and 8 feet, without first washing his or her hands. And I say his or her because the poskim, the authorities, all point out that these halachas are equally applicable to men, to women as well as men. And for that matter, ideally, even young children, one should try, to whatever extent the children are willing to cooperate, to be mechanech, to educate them, to wash their hands upon waking up in the morning. But now let's get back to us here. You're not allowed to walk 4 amos without first washing. That's why some people have the cup with the water and the bucket next to their beds. So what about if you're going to get up in the morning and trip on it and make a big mess? What about if you live at home and your parents are not quite into this? Is there really an obligation to wash right at one's bed before walking your 6 feet, your 8 feet? Or can one just go to the bathroom and wash 20 feet away, 15 feet away? So, well, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch allows for leniency, litzorech gadol me'od. Under very extenuating circumstances, one can be lenient in this regard. If one looks, however, at some of the other sources, so some of the other authorities, which many practically rely upon, write explicitly that one has the right to assume that the entire domain under a single roof is considered to be the equivalent of 4 amos of 6 feet, meaning with respect to carrying on Shabbos, with respect to Tchumen, some of the other intricacies that pertain to the laws of Shabbos as well as other areas of halacha. So we view any area under the single roof as being the equivalent of 4 amos. So too, right, some of the authorities, the same applies to this prohibition against walking 4 amos without washing. That if one is as long as you're in the same house, as long as you're under a single roof, the entire house is deemed to be within 4 amos. And thus, this is the basis for many being lenient and not washing at their bedside, rather getting up and washing in the bathroom, washing at some other sink, as we see in a moment. Just as an aside, just to give you an example of how halacha carries over from one area to another, even in things that we would not immediately think are even a little bit related. I mentioned that the notion of dalet amos, of 4 cubits, 6 feet, being under one roof is all considered to be 6 feet. So that we find with respect to the laws of carrying on Shabbos. We also perhaps may find this halacha in a completely different context as well. There's a halacha, the Chumash tells us, Mipnei seva takum, to stand up for an older person. What is the definition of older? So we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, we assume the definition of seva is above the age of 70. The Torah commands that one stand up for an individual above the age of 70. You ever got to a wedding recently? You go to weddings now, so everybody stands up for the 18, 20, 23-year-old chassan and kala, for the bride and groom, and they don't stand up for the grandparents walking down the aisle. So that's terrible. Standing up for the bride and groom is only, at most, a custom that fell into disuse in many communities until about 20 years ago. It was a custom that was prevalent in certain European communities. It certainly was not a custom in the United States 40 years ago. A minhag is a minhag. There's nothing wrong with a custom. It's fantastic. However, to stand up for the 20-year-old chassan and kala, and not to stand up for the 75, 80-year-old grandparents, so that's very improper. Here you have a case where we're more concerned with a custom, with a minhag, than we are an absolute din d'oraisa, a din mandated by the Torah. And yet on the surface, there seems to be a simple defense. The halacha, strictly speaking, is that the obligation to stand up for a seva, for one above the age of 70, is only once the person reaches the 6 feet, the arba amos. Now, as if you see an older person across the room, so that it would seem you don't, the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't have an obligation to stand up. You only have an obligation to stand up when the individual gets within 4 amos of you. Then you have to stand up. Okay, so I don't sit at the aisle, I'm not so close to the grandparents, and therefore, really, really, technically, I don't have an obligation to stand up. I stand up anyhow for the chassan and kala. Okay, that's not so bad. The problem becomes, though, as follows. Writes the Birkei Yosef, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, if, in fact, you are willing to be lenient and not to wash at your bed, because you treat under the same roof as four cubits, but it's under the same roof, just as we find with respect to the laws of carrying on Shabbos. So if that's really true, says the Birkei Yosef, we should have to stand up for an older person, for a seva, above the age of 70, even when you are across the room, because it's all within arba amos. And thus, to not stand up for the grandparents at a wedding, even though this morning you washed in the bathroom, you didn't wash at your bedside, because you assumed under the same roof as 4 amos. So that's true, okay. But if you take the leniency, you have to accept the stringency as well. You can't have it both ways. If you assume that under the same roof is considered to be 4 amos, and therefore you don't have to wash at your bedside, you could walk across the room 20 feet away. By the same token, you have to be stringent that the next time you go to a wedding, to make sure, even though you're standing across the room, to stand up as the grandparents, as above the age of 70, the great-grandparents, whatever the case may be, as one above, as the seva passes by, gets one as the obligation, as soon as you see them walking down, to stand up, because even though you're across the room, you're 150 feet away. But no, if you're under the same roof, if the wedding is conducted indoors, so if what that may be deemed as being within 4 amos. This is just an example of where you have an instance of a halachic principle in one case being a leniency. And the same, in another instance, taking the same principle, where it could be a stringency. It's not always about lenient and stringent. You got to apply the principle properly. The same principle in one case could be a kula, could be a leniency. In another case, can yield a stringency. Halacha, incidentally, is that if an older person is mochel on their kavod, if they forego the requirement, so then there's no obligation to stand up for them. Some older people today, 70 is midlife, thank God. They don't like being treated like elderly people standing up. They're happy for people not to stand up for them. So if that's really the case, then that's the real heter. That would be the real leniency, not to be required, the basis of not standing up. Many cases that's not true. Even older people, even a seva, who generally is mochel, and generally foregoes the honor they are due, and is willing to for people not to stand up for them, and it's maybe even happy for people not to stand up for them, but in a case where you're standing up for the rabbis, and you're standing up for the 20-year-old chassid and kala, for the bride and groom, so at least to stand up for the grandparents, for those above the age of 70 as well. How exactly does one go about this netilas yodayim shachris, this negelvasser? So, there is a difference between washing in the morning versus washing before eating bread. Whereas when washing before eating bread, we wash twice on the right hand, twice on the left hand. Or some do three times on the right hand, three times on the left hand. But it's consecutive. It's boom, boom, boom. One, two, three. One, two, three. Or one, two, which is the normal halacha. One, two, one, two. When it comes down to Netilas Yadayim in the morning, so the halacha is a little bit different. No tel es hakli biyad yamino. In Se'if Gimel on page 8, number 3, you take the vessel with your right hand, and as you take the washing cup with your right hand, v'nos, the lismol, excuse me, and you pass it over to your left hand. V'shofech tchila al yad yamin. You then pour with your left hand on top of your right hand, v'acharkach, and then you take the kli, now tell us a kli b'yamina, you then switch it to your right hand and pour in the left hand. And then you do this three times, you do it intermittently, one, two, three, four, five, six, as opposed to doing it consecutively. Why exactly do we do it this way? So that's a great question. That has to do with the purpose of the washing, that somehow this is the way that through which we remove the aforementioned ruach ra, spiritual contamination. Although the Kitz Shulchan Aruch does not mention, there is an opinion that maintains that one washed not three times but four times, that somehow the fourth time is the wash away the previously contaminated water. Is one obligated to follow this opinion? Not necessarily. You want, it's a free country, lots of water, so gesunde hate, it's okay. But strictly speaking, the normative halacha that is followed generally is washing intermittently three times on each hand, one, two, three, four, five, six, as opposed to seven, eight, as opposed to another two. V'tov litlon ad perek hazroa, ach b'shas adechak day ad kishrei etzbaosav. Very important halacha that applies differently different times throughout the year. There is a dispute among the authorities as to how far one has to wash. This applies, incidentally, washing before bread, to a slightly lesser extent, washing in the morning as well. Some say that one has to wash only up to the knuckles, I mean the second knuckles, that's only up to the second joint. Others maintain that one need wash all the way up to the wrist. What do we do? So if one is able to, tov, it's better, if you can, to wash all the way up to the wrist. After all, some authorities maintain that that's required. And that's why practically we generally advise that if one is able, one should try to wash all the way up to the wrist. However, although most of the time the quote-unquote stringency would be to err on the side of caution and cover all your bases, wash all the way up to the wrist, there is an instance in which following what appears to be the stringent opinion is in fact a leniency and was something we avoid, and that is on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av. We know that one of the activities prohibited, considered to be pleasurable on both Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, is washing. Washing means even with cold water and even without soap, nonetheless, a ritual washing, that's washing, well, not before bread, presumably you're not eating. If you are eating, so the same would apply. But washing in the morning, so that we do, even on Yom Kippur and even on Tisha B'Av. However, since one is only allowed to wash the bare minimum on Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av, so here we say, one second, here we say that to be quote-unquote stringent, That's the wash all the way up to the wrist. So you're being stringent in with respect in Atilas Adayim Shel Shachris, but you're being lenient with respect to the prohibition against washing on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av. And generally the Paskim write that the prohibition against washing on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av is a more serious issue than is washing in the morning. Therefore, we recommend that even though throughout the year one try to wash all the way up to the wrist, when it comes to Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, so here we say on the contrary, the halacha is one tries to wash only up to the knuckles. This important idea that sometimes we think that the more stringencies you follow, the better off you are. When in doubt, just pile it on. Wash up to the knuckles. No, wash up to the wrist. That's the more the better. It's very important that one, when being quote-unquote machmir, when being stringent, one knows what they're doing. Because if you don't know what you're doing, so a lot of times, and this is a perfect example, your chumrah is really mevi lidei kula. Your stringency, you think is a stringency. You think you're being such a tzaddik, you're doing everything right. And the more stringent, the better. No, no, no. This stringency is really represents a leniency in a different area of halacha. And that's important. The idea is a person has to understand to the greatest extent possible what they're doing and why they're doing this, not just to always pick the opinion or the approach that appears to be the harshest or the most stringent. The Mishnah tells us in this regard in Maseches Brachos that there was a dispute between the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai. The house of Hillel, Beis Hillel, was of the opinion that when the Chumash requires reciting the Shema b'shach b'cha uvekumecha, that's when you get up and when you go to sleep, all that means is exactly that. B'shach b'cha, when you go to sleep, as in nighttime, uvekumecha, when you get up, as in the morning. Beis Shammai disagreed and said that no, it doesn't just mean time of day, but the intent of the Chumash when mandating the Shema, b'shach b'cha uvekumecha, is to assign a particular position that is required for the Shema. Namely, that in the evening, kol adam yata, you lean over when reciting the Shema, and in the morning you stand up reciting the Shema. Why? B'shach b'cha. That means to stand up, to lie down, I'm sorry, uvkumecha, to stand up. Then the Mishnah goes on to present a perplexing story. Once upon a time, the great Rabbi Tarfon was traveling, and he tells of having pulled over to the side of the road and endangering himself by lying down to fulfill the position, the opinion of Beis Shammai. That's even though the halacha had been already established as is true most of the time, in accordance with Beis Hillel, with the house of Hillel, Rabbi Tarfon went out of his way to be stringent and to follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. When he got back and proudly reported how he had risked his life to fulfill the more stringent view, so the rabbis in the study hall in the Beis Medrash told him, you would have gotten killed if the bandits would have gotten to you. It would have been on your own head. You would have been guilty of suicide. Why? After all, he was machmir Beis Shammai. The answer is no, because we paskin, we follow Beis Hillel. This Mishnah would seem to indicate that looking to follow a stringent opinion that has not been accepted generally is considered to be improper at the very least, and absolutely terrible and prohibited at worst. And yet, at the very end of Maseches Brachos, the Gemara records another dispute, Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. What happens if a person forgets the bench? Do you have to go back to the original place or not? Beis Hillel says, if you forget to recite the blessing after meals, you don't, and you remember after having left the place that you ate, you may recite the Birkas HaMazon where you remember. You need not go back to the original place. Beis Shammai says that no, that you have to go back to where you originally ate. Then the Gemara records that once upon a time, there was a student who left his place. He realized he had not benched. So what did he do? He went back in accordance with the view of Beis Shammai, despite the fact that the opinion is not accepted, and he went back to his original place to recite the grace, the bench. And lo and behold, he found a pot of gold and became a very wealthy man. So that seems to indicate that being machmir, being stringent for a minority view, is a good thing, not a bad thing. So there's a very simple answer. Yes, being stringent may be positive, but you have to know what you're doing. In the case of Rabbi Tarfon, explains the Ramosha Isserlis, the great authority of Ashkenazic Jewry. In the case of Rabbi Tarfon, there was a downside. Be machver beishamai. No. If you have to lay down to recite the Shema, so then laying down is required. But if in fact the halacha is that it's not required, so to lay down, to be machmir, quote-unquote, for the view of Beis Shammai, for the view of Shammai that says you have to lie down, but that's a stringency that has an inherent leniency. The leniency being that that's not so respectful. If you have a choice to recite Shema sitting up, standing, and instead you choose to recite the Shema in a prone position, so that's disrespectful to Hashem. So in that case, there was a downside in the stringency, explains the Ramah, as opposed to the instance at the end of the tractate in which the student was machmir, was stringent, in an instance where there was no downside. To be machmir beishamai, okay. No worse for the wear. That's okay. But to be machmir, to be stringent in the case where there's a downside, in what's a chumrah that has an inherent kula, a stringency that contains a leniency, so that's absolutely improper. And thus, it's very important that a person be aware. You got to know what the halacha is based on. Says to do this, so always be stringent. You have to know what the stringency is based on, what the leniency is based on, because many, many cases, what appears to be a stringency is in fact a leniency, as illustrated by this instance of, yes, washing up the wrist, that's great. But comes Yom Kippur, comes Tisha B'Av, in which washing is prohibited. So here we follow the other view, and we only wash up to the knuckles and not up to the wrist. Then says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, what else does one do? V'rochets panav lichvod yotzro. The one washes his face in honor of his Creator. As much as man is created, shenema ki betzel melokim asa za'adam, man is created in the image of God. Therefore, hey, if you're an image of God, God got to look good. And as such, says the Ketzer, based on the Gemara, it's only proper that one washes their face on a daily basis. Question is as follows. How exactly, what is absolutely required for Netilas Yadayim in the morning? When washing on bread, so the halacha is that one requires a kli, as a vessel, a cup of some type. One is supposed to have a revius, 3.5 ounces of water at the very least. Ideally, the more the merrier. One requires what's called koach gavra, that when washing before bread, so you can't just stick your hands in, somebody has to pour the water. The water has to be poured. So does this apply to netilas yadayim, to washing in the morning, to negel vaser, to netilas yadayim shachris upon getting up? So when all is said and done, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes in Se'if Vav, number 6, the bottom of page 8, Tov lahakpid b'netilas yadayim shachris b'kli uvimayim uvikach gavra kima b'netilas yadayim l'sa'uda. That ideally one should be particular when washing in the morning to use, number 1, a kli, not to use a cup, to use some type of a receptacle. Number 2, to use mayim, use water as opposed to dirty water. The water should be clean. With our indoor plumbing, this is not much of an issue today. Uvikoach gavra, and as I mentioned, having the water poured as opposed to having the water, to dipping one's hands in, or for the water coming out from a faucet directly without any human intervention. So ideally, all of this should be applied to netilas yadayim shachris, to washing in the morning. Kimbo, the same way, all of these laws are absolutely required in netilas yadayim l'seuda prior to washing before bread. However, there's an ideal and there's reality. Ach b'shas ha-dechak, inasmuch as netilas yadayim shachris is not exactly the same as washing before bread, under extenuating circumstances, she'ein lo mayim karoy v'ratza lehispalel, where you don't have enough, you don't have water, or you don't have a revius worth of water, which is what the Chavetz Chaim points out as the Mishnah Brura, which also should be, is ideally required, and v'ratza lehispalel, you would like already to pray to Davin. So then we say, yachalit al yadav mitach kal davar v'chol minei mayim, uv'lal kach gavra, v'yachal that's under those circumstances where you don't have another choice, so you could use whatever water you have, you could use even liquids other than water if necessary. One need not use a clay, a receptacle, a vessel. One need not have kach gavra, and one need not, certainly, one need not use a revius, a full 3.5 ounces of water. This is if one does not have a choice. Ideally, as mentioned, tov, it's better that one use a kli, that one use a proper shiur, a proper measurement, namely the full 3.5 ounces, and then some, and finally, that one use koach gavra, that the water be poured on, as opposed to just coming out directly from a sink, or as opposed to dipping your hands into the water. It should be noted that some of the contemporary authorities point out that in a case where one does not have a kli, where one does not have a cup or any other type of a receptacle, so if one puts their hand under the faucet before you turn the faucet on, and then you turn the faucet on, so that might count, although maybe as a kli, very likely not, but at least that would count as koach gavra, as having an element of human involvement. And the meaning, if one doesn't have a kli, practically contemporary authorities recommend that you put your right hand under the faucet, you turn it on, then you turn it off. You put your left hand under the faucet, you turn it on, then your right hand again, you turn it on, you turn it off, your left hand, etc., at least thereby covering for koach gavra. Again, if even this isn't an option, really, really, strictly, me'ikar hadin, strictly speaking, the aforementioned requirements are only for washing on bread and do not apply to washing in the morning. Besides walking the four amos, which we discussed, which is generally prohibited prior to washing, there is another halacha going back to Se'if Hay, which again is not all that easy for us to comprehend. It's based on a ritual, if not impurity, then some type of a spiritual contamination that exists prior to the washing in the morning, that as a result of this ruach ra, the Shulchan Aruch writes, and this is something we do try to follow, that lo yiga kodem netila lo bepev lo bechotem lo beinayim lo baznayim lo befitabas lo beochlim lo makom hakaza v'nei ruach ra'a hashora al hayodayim kodem netila mazekes lidvarim elu, that one not touch any of the various orifices on one's body prior to washing, because even though we don't fully understand this, apparently the contamination that as the product of this ruach ra'ah can have a negative impact on the individual. Therefore, we try to the best of our abilities not to touch, not the mouth, not the nose, not the eyes, any of the open portions of the body prior to washing in the morning. Very important halacha, on page 10, number 7, Siv Zion, and that is the issue of when exactly does one write the blessing. We mentioned, we assumed, that there is a requirement to recite Al Netilas Yodayim upon washing one's hands. When exactly does one do this? So what's so complicated? After you wash. So the answer is not so simple, for as the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch points out, Ksiv, the pasuk has in Tehillim, Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem V'chal Kiravai Es Shem Kodesho, that my soul bless Hashem, and all of my insides, all that's v'chal kravai, all that is contained within me, should all praise Hashem. The point being as follows then, v'kevan, and since, shetzarecha adam livareches Hashem b'chal karavav, since a person is obligated to praise Hashem in every, through every portion of his body, including the inside of his body, therefore, asur livarech, it's prohibited to recite a blessing, achiyanaka esakiravayim mitzawa umeiraglayim, until one relieves his innards by going to the bathroom. And as such, since in the morning when one gets up, one has not yet relieved themselves, therefore, says the Kitzer, echoing a sentiment expressed by earlier authorities, although the Talmud does not exactly say this, the Kitzer suggests that it is not appropriate to recite the blessing on one's washing prior to going to the bathroom, prior to relieving oneself. It's for this reason that when all is said and done, the recommendation of the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch is al kain, therefore, lo yivarech birkas al netilas yadayim bishas netila al achshi yinakas atzmo. Meaning, you get up right away, you wash. That's many of us are lenient to not to wash at our beds. If your preference is to wash at your bed, so that's great. If not, you go to the bathroom to wash. That's the first thing you do in order to remove this ruach ra immediately. One then goes to the bathroom. One then tends to their personal needs. And only afterwards, the yerchatz yadav ot pamachas, then you wash your hands again after going to the bathroom, and only after washing for the second time, ve'oz, and at that point you recite the Netilas Yadayim, as well as the Asher Yotzar printed subsequently in the Siddurim, after the Netilas Yadayim, the Birkas HaTorah, the Elokai Neshama, and all the various brachos, as printed in our Siddurim. It's important to keep in mind that you only say these various blessings one time, meaning people get confused. That some people, they make a mistake. They said the brachas at home before attending shul, before going to synagogue. And then they see the print in the siddur, so they say them a second time. So that's no good. That's a person I only says these brachas once. Does one have to say these brachas after washing the second time? Does one have to say them immediately, or can one wait until going to shul, going to synagogue, to daven? So the answer is, unless there's going to be a very substantial break, unless you're going to be driving for a half hour, 45 minutes, you're going to be walking for an hour or something prior to going to shul, so there's no reason why you cannot wait until getting to shul and beginning to daven to recite all the various brachos as printed in the Siddurim. Alternatively, one could say them right away. If, however, one is going to be traveling a significant distance, so then it's certainly better to recite the brachos at home prior to attending services. So if test number 9, and with this we conclude, Eilu devarim tzricha netilas yadayim b'mayim, that's these are the items that require netilas yadayim, similar to waking up in the morning. So now, of course, hakamin amita, one who gets up, certainly in the morning, as we discussed, as well as if one takes a nap during the day, albeit without a bracha, vayotzei mibeis hakisei, one who goes to the restroom, who tends to his or her needs over the course of the day. So one is required also to wash. The Poskim say that, strictly speaking, when washing upon leaving the bathroom, one need not wash the 6 times, as one could. Well, that's not absolutely required. Some have the practice to do the 6 times, even when leaving the bathroom. Again, if one wants to do that, that's fine, but that's not absolutely required. One leaves the bathhouse, one takes a bath, one takes a shower, one cuts their nails. So these are also cases in which one should ideally wash. So too, v'magalech sarasa, one takes a haircut, as well as one removes their shoes. removal of shoes is not quite what it used to be. It's back in the day, people's shoes were muddy and they were always dirty. As Rav Shach, Zichrono Livracha, would tell that as a little boy in Lithuania, during the winter, the mud went up to his knees. As back in the day, shoes were muddy. As Bizman Hazet today, our shoes are not quite as dirty. And thus, many point out that if all you do is you tie your clean shoes, so that even though you touch your shoes, so really, you're not absolutely required to wash. You could rub your hands against something hard. You can wash if you so desire, if your shoes are a little bit dirty. So then, if coming in contact with shoes would require washing even today.